Let's face it, size matters.
Truly epic proportions.
Especially when it comes to your financial talk.
I have a plan.
Quick sound bites and rush chatter won't help you.
Blah, 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 blah.
You want more details, more depth.
Concentrate. Focus power.
More to think about.
What do you think?
This is Money Life's Big Interview.
I think it's brilliant.
A meaningful conversation on money and markets.
This is why we're here.
So settle in.
I made you coffee.
You're going to be here a while.
Well, in fact, we do think it's just about perfect. It's the big interview here on Money Life, and I got to tell you, I'm very excited to chat with my guest today. He's been on the show a number of times in the past, but I'm hoping he can tie together a lot of what we saw and heard in the last week. Now, some of that was stuff that we saw and heard from the FOMC. Some of it was stuff we heard from the people I was talking to at the Morningstar Investor Conference. But my guest is Doug Roberts. He is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. He's also the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. If you're not familiar with the firm, it's channelcapitalresearch.com. On Twitter, he's at Doug S. Roberts, but right now he's here with us on Money Life, and I'm very pleased to say, Doug Roberts, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, Chuck. Always great to be here.
Let's start with the FOMC meeting, because here I was at an investor conference when it happened last week. The headlines were happy, happy. It made everybody, I think, except for Bill Gross, who spoke moments before it occurred, happy, happy, and yet the truth is that it sort of was kind of meaningless, and I think people have mostly forgotten about it so far, haven't they?
Yeah, for the most part, what they were looking for the meeting was really no surprises, and that's what they got. The one thing that was really positive that calmed people down is a lot of people were wondering if there'd be, you know, dissents, because you've seen comments by James Bullard about inflation strengthening and the need to possibly tighten, but basically Bullard is not voting. What they were really concerned with is that maybe you might get some gruff comments or at least a dissent from basically the hawkish wing of the Fed, being Charlie Plosser and basically Dick Fisher from basically Texas. And you didn't really get that. They both concurred, and you had, again, unanimous approval of the position, even including the new members such as Stanley Fisher, which meant that there is a basically what I call a Janet Yellen consensus on the Fed, and she speaks fully for the Fed, and therefore that decreases uncertainty in the market. So that was one of the reasons why I had that nice little huge rally after the Fed meeting ended and after the press conference. And by the way, the other thing that was nice is you had had a rookie mistake during basically Janet Yellen's first press conference, and there was no rookie mistake in this press conference, despite some severe plotting and prodding from various pundits and people in the audience. So at that point, it just calmed everybody down. I think what's really driving a lot of this is, as we've been tapering QE, people are nervous about that, but everybody else around the world, including the ECB, Bank of Japan, and some of the smaller central banks, are now basically putting onto the accelerator and looking at instituting or ramping up QE for their foreseeable future. And a lot of that money is flowing here into the U.S. market. So it's compensating at least for the Fed. And they're just looking that there's not going to be any serious tightening in the foreseeable future.
So the foreseeable future, the vast majority of people I talk to at Morningstar, including bond fund managers, generalists, chief investment officers, whatever you want, we're all saying 12 to 18 months before we would see any appreciable increase in interest rates. Now, we had one or two that were outliers to that. What we didn't get quite so clear a consensus on was what kind of increase will happen when we get it. We had the ones who said it's going to be just a little step, a token here, a, hey, look, it's all over and this is the proof of it, to somebody like Scott Page from Eaton Vance, who basically said when the time comes that they raise rates, they're going to raise them steeply and quickly so that they can reload the weapon because they know that they're going to have to get back into an environment where they're cutting. So, what do you think on terms of when we're going to see the Fed act and when it happens? What's the increase going to look like?
I think if you look at what they're saying, it's really still next year, and they're going to take token amounts. And this is really what Janet Yellen is basically saying in her testimony with the forecast, that they might do some token increases next year, but that's by no means predetermined. And at that point, they're going to take this thing very, very slowly. the danger that you're going to really have is, I think it's very clear that she's in charge. I mean, you can count votes, and it looks like even if there are some dissenters, her opinion will prevail. That's pretty clear. And what they don't want to do regarding outliers is, if you sit there and you load the weapon and you end up killing somebody, then you have a real problem. You may have plenty of bullets in your gun, but if you have a dead body there, they don't want to do something that they're going to have to dramatically reverse themselves and go into the area which they seem to be doing fairly carefully. You know, you have two weapons. You have the conventional weapon and the QE weapon. And they're getting to the point where they are reloading the QE weapon, and they can institute that and reverse that whenever they want, and that'll be completed by the end of the year, absent something else. But the real danger becomes that they have to start shooting, and if they start moving too quickly on the conventional end, they have to resort to QE to stabilize it. We have to remember before, in 2007, 2008, they were doing a conventional easing quite aggressively, and it wasn't working. And they were forced to resort to QE, and even then progressive rounds to it, until we ended up with QE Infinity, which we still have, which is an open-ended QE situation that they're pulling back on, but they have not formally phased out and could easily reverse. So they don't want to get back into that situation, and I think that's their primary concern. Okay. The real danger that you have is they've said that what they're looking at is really economics. And if you look at it with some of the recent numbers that have come out, existing home sales that came out Monday, they were quite positive. The real question becomes, is this because of kind of like a winter catch-up because of all the bad weather this winter, and we did, you know, sleep into negative GDP? Is this just really a catch-up of stuff that was postponed till spring, or is this really a real economic recovery? That's not really predetermined yet, but a lot of people are assuming that it really is an economic recovery. That's quite strong, this so-called bounce that everybody's been looking for. We don't really know that yet, and the Fed is trying to hedge their bets with it. The real danger that could cause a problem is they've also targeted 2% inflation, and you've seen inflation strengthening, not huge, you know, on the way to hyperinflation of the late 70s. But, you know, what we had last time was a strengthening when the employment numbers came out of basically wage inflation. We also saw the CPI numbers starting to strengthen as well. And that is making people a bit concerned about inflation. The real danger becomes is if that starts popping up, where the hawks on the Fed start making noise about it and say we have to move sooner rather than later, and this so-called Janet Yellen consensus starts to break down. Does that mean that the hawks are going to win? I doubt it. Possibly Janet Yellen may do some token raising or talk about it, but she's going to do that very, very carefully. But she does have the votes for her, whatever her view is, which was likely to be more on the dovish side, to prevail. But at that point, it's going to cause a tremendous amount of uncertainty and volatility in the markets, which we have thus far been able to avoid and which has been one of the core elements stimulating this rally.
Okay, well, that's indeed, that brings me to the sort of the last point that I wanted to make, which is one of the other interviews that we did last week coming out of the Morningstar conference was with Charles Biederman, who is the chairman of TrimTab's financial research. And the phrase he used was that if and when the Fed raises rates, it will crack the market. That's the term he used. Now, as I pointed out, Doug, you don't need me to tell you, but my audience, a little reminder here, you are the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. So if the Fed raises the rate, in your opinion, when rates go up, does that crack the market?
It really depends upon how they're talking about raising. And if they're talking about raising it a quarter of a point, and then they're going to wait, let's say, several months before they raise it again, and, you know, you have everybody else intensifying the QE, that may not necessarily damage the market. I think what you really have to do is look at the current conditions, because, you know, raising rates can take a lot of form, you know, different forms. And on the other hand, you know, even if they didn't raise rates, they announced, as we saw, you know, during that press conference before Janet Yellen corrected herself, she said, we're going to start raising rates, you know, fairly substantially within 6 months, and they didn't even raise rates, and she gave a ton of caveats that roiled the market. So I think you really can't predict it. You have to really look at the individual situation and see how it prevails. The other thing you also have to see is really what the current economic condition is. So I think it's
a little bit
too much of a blanket statement.
When you talk about the current economic condition, and very quickly because we're almost out of time, do you take a look and say, hey, you know, there's a certain point when it comes to raising rates that the Fed just can't go beyond because, well, the cost of borrowing would be too great? I mean, is it one of those cases where you might as well get used to it being, you know, no more than 3% because, truthfully, they can never get beyond 3% at this point?
I think rates will tend to, if we look at history, rates tend to stay low during periods of economic distress, and I don't think we're out of that distress period yet. So if they start trying to, and there's even been talk now, before people were saying, let's say, a nominal rate of 3 to 4% was, you know, really the normalized rate. You're now hearing people say that maybe it's actually closer to 2%. So, I mean, I think at this point, they're going to take it very, very gradually to do it. And again, a certain amount is tapering, I think, could be much more damaging than it actually is right now, simply because, but it's being cushioned by the so-called ECB QE, which is flowing into our markets.
Well, Doug, it is fascinating stuff. I really appreciate you helping to tie it all together for us, because I heard so many things last week. My head was spinning just a bit when it came to rates. I think it's not spinning so much now. So thanks so much for helping to clear it up for us.
Thanks for having me on, Chuck.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. And if you want more information, it is channelcapitalresearch.com. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success, and he periodically shows up here. Hey, well, you know what's showing up here next? A little bit more rate talk, as Greg McBride from Bankrate.com will be in. And then the Money Life Market Call with James Abate from Center Asset Management when the June 24th edition of Money Life continues.